So we pray, Heavenly Father, we're very grateful for that word of promise that you set forth in your eternal record, that where two or three are in your name, there are you in the midst. And the prophet declared that that had to do with reality really being in the name, and the limitations have become more and more acute these hours that there are twos and threes. There won't be very many, Lord, and we're grateful that we are in that small number, a minimal number, Lord, that so we know at least we've got something going for us, that we qualify, that we're not with the crowd, knowing that many more are the children of the desolate than she which hath a husband. So we're in your name tonight, even Jesus' name, and that's tremendous. We're just entirely thankful for it. Now I'm praying, Lord, that you bless us in the study of your word, guide and direct us, and may we know the things of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, don't think we'll take too long tonight, hopefully, but I must warn you before the message is preached, it'll be taped, but no one will get a tape. And this is because I will be speaking in such a way that I must admit to you that the expressions will be not abstract nor obtuse. Hopefully they will be correct, but to let anybody else know what I say, other than what I'm saying, and if you don't get it, don't feel bad, because I've been looking at this, and I haven't got it right myself, except I know I'm onto the looking at something. It has to do with our subject, so you just keep that in mind now, that you listen, follow me the best you can, and I'll do the best I can with the help of the Lord, and we're going to have to let us sit there, whatever comes out of the message. The message, strangely enough, is simply transformation. And we're going to read a couple places of Scripture, such as in Romans 12:2, and be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Or transfigured, or metamorphosized, what do you call it? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Matthew 17:2, which is the same as what's found over in Mark 9. We find it said concerning Jesus, he was transfigured, or transformed before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. Then in 2 Corinthians 3, and in verse 18, the verse we love so dearly, but we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed, that we are transfigured or transformed, also meaning metamorphosis, into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, the words transfigure and transform are the same. It simply means to change into another form, coming from one word meta, which means change, and morpha, which means form. And the question arises, what is it? What is it that is changed, or what is it that changes its form? Well, it is the tenant in the house, it is a light. Reading from Conduct, Order, and Doctrine, on page 666, just a smattering. Your body, soul, and spirit. That is, you are body, soul, and spirit. But it takes those three to make you. With just one of them, you're not you. Like I said the other day, this is my hand. This is my finger. This is my nose. This is my eye. But who's me? Who's me that these belong to? It's what's on the inside of me. That's the intelligence. My body could be here, but me could be gone. What I am. Whoever I am inside of me has gone on. That part is the spirit, which means it's the spiritual part of man. Now, all right. We're looking at a transformation, a transfiguration, a change, which has to do with the form. And you can't talk about form in the animate without going into the vital factor or the life spirit of that which we call animate. Now we're going over to Hebrews, the 7th chapter, to begin to get ourselves involved. 9-10. And as I may say, so Levi, a person, also who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for Levi, this person, was yet in the loins of his father. He was also paid tithes when he was in the loins of Abraham, his father, when Melchizedek met Abraham. All right. He was in the loins of Abraham, a life that had a preexistence in another person, and he not yet come down. So he would be in a form. So, we go to Genesis, the 12th chapter. And we read the 7th verse. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And they were all in the loins of Abraham. And there he built an altar unto the Lord who had appeared unto him. Going to Acts, the 3rd chapter. Preaching after Pentecost in verse 25, unto you first God having raised up his son. I'm sorry. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with their fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. All right. Let's begin to look at that seed in which there was a life. Certain life, a certain form. Back to Genesis again. First chapter, 11-12. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. So there was something in that tree that was yet unformed that could take upon a form. Something in the tree which had already had a form, but in there could produce itself in a form, which would further produce in a form. All right. Seed identified by form, by the form it takes, which we're talking about a plant. Let's just look at this a little more. We go to 1 Corinthians 15, 35-39. But some will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? What form? Fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but that which is then there, already containing in itself a body. You just plant a bare grain. You don't plant the body that shall be, and yet there's a body that shall be. May chance the wheat or some other grain, plant seed. But God gives it a body as it hath pleased him. And every seed his own body. Life getting a body and the life in the body going to a seed and producing. All flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh, a man. That's got a certain life, certain form, a certain seed. Another a fish and a beast, same thing. Another a bird, same thing. Now, this doesn't obtain here so much, but it has to do with the resurrection, so we could read it. There is also celestial bodies, bodies terrestrial, the glory celestial, one of the glory terrestrial, another. One glory of the sun, another moon, another stars, one star different than glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. Now notice he says a seed is sown and it gets a body that is predestinated already in the life that is in that seed. So you sow something here, and it's very strange to say rules are broken. Yet they're not broken, because you're sowing a different seed to bring forth another body. So the resurrection of the dead is sown in corruption, is raised in incorruption. It is sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body, there's a spiritual body. It is written, the first Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Afterward, that which is spiritual. Metamorphosis. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord of heaven. Metamorphosis from one to the other. As we are born, as is the earthy, they are also earthly, earthy. And as is the heavenly, they are also heavenly. So watch, there's a difference. As we are born, the image of the earthy seed, but also containing the heavenly seed. One will go down and come up in the image of the other, will bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, so therefore something happens evidently to the life that went down. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Something further happens. All right, that's what we're looking at here. Now, back to Genesis 1 and 27. So God created man in his own image. Image of God created him, male and female created he them. Genesis 2 and 7. Lord God breathed and formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed in the nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Verse 21, 22, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. He slept, took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken man, made he the woman, and brought her unto the man. All right. Now, I'm sure that you've noticed that we've reduced everything to three parts. One, we go from light. We start with light. We start with life number one. That's the first, there's light. Then life goes to a seed. So seed is number two. And from the seed, which is a physical body or a physical thing, now combined, or it is real anyway, we'll go to spiritual perhaps later, but it's physical now. This seed combined with the light, combines with the light that was original. And three, the form or shape of the body of that light, which can now come forth to best or fully manifest the light. So first of all, you got light. Light transforms or transfigures into a seed. Within the seed lies all the light. So that therefore, what lies within the seed as the pulp and the animation which is the life can bring forth life again in the original form of what it was physically, bring that life out in a way which is best for it and can most fully manifest that life that is contained therein. That's why you see so many forms of life and so many beautiful things. Now, life of itself cannot be seen, but it carries in it the full complement of attributes to the end that when it is given materials to work with that are compatible to it, then it can form itself from that material into a visible shape fully revealing its attributes. Now, that's not as hard as it sounds. I'll read it again. Life cannot of itself be seen. It's true. Like no man can see God. No man can see the wind. But it carries in it the full complement of attributes to the end, that when it is given materials to work with that are compatible to it, and necessary, of course, then it can form itself from that material into visible shape, fully revealing its attributes, or the life which is there. Now, Let's go back to Genesis 1, 11 and 12. The Lord God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, it was so. The earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in its after of his kind, and God saw that it was good. Now, seeds were already lying there. Each one with its own genetic code and particular shape and size and right elements that would now enable the life in the plants to come forth into physical, visible form and continue to do so by the same processes. In other words, tree was already there in the form of a life known as tree, and every kind of tree, and everything which would categorize as flora. I guess that's F-L-O-R-A. And God did not at that time, though previously, no doubt he had, the life there, which came under his creatorial direction, and then he literally clothed those lives. But this time, evidently from some chaos that had come upon the earth, he's just saved the seed, and he said, let the earth bring forth in the seed. Then notice Genesis 21:22, the same thing. God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the water brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God said it was good. What was the original creation? The thing itself in the form of a life that would need to be clothed upon to give it definition. Not that it didn't have definition. If there weren't definition within the life and the genetic pattern in the genes, there wouldn't be definition in what was produced. Right? So don't anybody tell me a spirit doesn't have some kind of definition. God is not some amorphous chunk of something. I never believe that. God himself would have to come down and float like a blob, then he'd have to know it's God. I couldn't convince me it was. I'm not convinced about anything till I see the one with the nail prints. Then I am convinced because I know God has stepped into him, reincarnated himself. But I'm trying to show you the definition is very clearly something that we are acquainted with. And the Lord God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowls multiply in the earth. Now, same thing, the life was there. All forms of lives, and God put physical forms on them to their proper advantage, and then again put the power to continue their lives by seed, all which had their own genetic codings. So they would continue to bring forth according to your original. All right. In each case, it was the Word of God that created the light and put it in a seed form and started a chain of action. Think of Adam naming everything that came before him. I think he only got as far as the animals, but even that is heroic. You say, what is that? Well, that's an elephant. How do you know? Well, he got it from God. It was an elephant life. And so what he saw was the life of an elephant in a form, and that's elephant. This went on maybe for months and months. I don't know how long it took. Maybe just over in no time. But he knew every single name because he was in touch with God. And then from that time, that started a chain through process of seed. Now, all animal and bird life and most living things carry seed, and it ends up that all nature, which has life from the beginning, goes through this process. Now, what we're seeing purely and simply is transfiguration and transformation. We're merely seeing changes in physical structure, not that life. It is the same life that manifests by changing its form, and that form each time is according to a necessary purpose in the economy of God. Now, that's a true statement, because there isn't one thing that is outside of the interrelated, oriented economy of God. And people are just finding that out. Before, we just figured we had a hodgepodge God who very nicely had trillions of things out here that could amuse us. And he was just lavish and luxurious. There was no end to his abilities. And so he just went wham, 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 wham to show that he could wham, wham. You guys got news for you. There's just a very orderly God we have. And everything is an interrelated thing that's upon earth in a relationship. And I'm looking for the millennium. Whoopee, I can't wait. I'm not much of a zoologist. I'm not much of a biologist. I'm not much of science, but I do love nature. I can't wait for that tiger, old pussy cat, to come and curl at my feet while I tickle his belly. I'd be afraid he'd take my finger off up to my armpit. I want to see those lions not jump through hoops of fire, just go up and jump on my lap. You say, well, he'd knock you down. He ain't going to knock me down. No. See, there's a... this all is a metamorphosis. God giving a form. God bringing changes. As the scripture says, they'll go from glory to glory. Now, working in the economy of God. Let's just take a little example in nature here. Take a frog. God made frog like that was there. Then he put it in a frog body. And people marvel at a toad that's amphibious. They marvel at a catfish that can walk out of water and walk on land to another body of water. And man says, well, hey, that's a fantastic revelation of evolution. That's a fantastic revelation of a God who has interrelated things to show you that water and ground and life and all these things have a particular cohesiveness, a coherence, and their own special orientation with God moving in all things. Well, he put this life, a frog life, in a frog body. Then God gave it seed to bear life. In other words, he reduced that life into another form, put in the seed. No seeds were eggs. And the eggs hatched. And strange thing, you didn't see another frog, but it became a tadpole. Because he had to live in water for a certain while. We need tadpoles to eat grubs and things, I guess, and little bitsy things that are in the water. And so the tadpoles do a good job. Then after a while, strange to say, the tail falls off. And now he becomes a frog. And it starts all over again. The egg is a form of the life. And the egg is a form of the life and a form of life. You could put it that way. The tadpole is another form of the same life. And the frog is yet another form of the same invisible life of the frog at the beginning. Now, sort of just keep that in mind. I don't know if that's a preamble and explanation of the sermon. I can't tell. That's just that nobody gets his take. Now, let's begin to slant our thinking and begin watching a little bit again. Adam's life is carrying on right now. Too bad, but serpent life is too. And they are intermingled in the seed of man, in the form of man. Now, they didn't intermingle in the true seed, but when the two seeds could get therein together in a body, it produced a common body. That's why there were giants in the land. That's why people are irregular. I don't believe for one minute if Adam and Eve had carried on as the true representatives of our race without interjection, there would have been much what you might call disunity or nonconformity to what would be natural human stature. Not that it matters a great deal, but there'd be more of a conformity because that's how species are supposed to run.
Dalton's law of regression wouldn't mean one thing. See, things are sort of skewed up. All right. They're intermingled in man and the form of man, so that all sons of God by Adam are fallen sons. Only God can separate them, and he does it by foreknowledge and election. Now, God knew this would be. He allowed the mingling, and he can run the seed right down. That's why a male has so many seeds. And that's why a woman has so many those little hair-like things that they call ova, which your brother Branham, by the way, was correct when he said a woman produces millions. The doctor will tell you a quarter million, but the doctor's wrong, because every little hair-like could produce an egg. So the woman's potential is in the millions, while the man would be in the trillions. And you tell me that every woman and every man doesn't carry something of each other? Well, you tell me wrong if you don't tell me that. Because there never have been as many men born on this earth as the ejaculate of one male, maybe in a few times, could produce. So that's why in marriage, you can be absolutely one. I'd run over your heads, but you think a while, it'll get around you. I've talked enough on it. It shouldn't be over your heads by now. It should be right between your eardrums. All right. By foreknowledge and election, through the plan of predestination, God does this. Now, Adam started back there as a life, which was a spirit form. But nonetheless, it was definitive. Why? Because we know all nature is definitive, and the form has got to form around what's in the life. So, that spirit being, you can say what you want, had to have the definition somewhere with hands and arms and everything else. That's why I believe without a doubt God says, talks about his soul, talks about his eyes, talks about his arms. I don't believe that God got into a human being on the grounds that an ape was more like God or something we haven't seen yet. That's why I believe he said, don't you dare make an image, because when it comes down to have an image, I'll give you an image which is a copy. And if Jesus is a copy of God and Adam was a copy of God, then there's definition. Oh, you know there's got to be definition. It's not helter-skelter. Brother Brown said every original seed runs true. All right. Adam started back there as a life, a spirit form. Then that same life was given a body, and all the attributes of that life in that body was placed in a seed form in Adam, who was now separately male and female. Yep. But it's still Adam. Now, here they were in the garden able to replenish the earth, to spread their life and multiplication of themselves. In other words, through the whole earth to spread their lives and in multiplication of themselves. Here were two lives in body form that could now express all the attributes within themselves. And that's right, because the attributes had to be there. Now, that life common to both, for they were one, could have manifested through other forms like theirs. Then there would have been spirit transformation. Because spirit is light. And when the light changes its form, putting on form, that is transfiguration. Shows there's a change. Now, then there would have been spirit transformation or spirits put into figures, even as they would have followed original or God's pattern to beget. Which means they had within themselves the seed spiritually to reproduce what was later put in flesh, which flesh accommodated what was in the spirit, then later that life produced that. Life is spirit. I don't care what anybody says, you can't see it. Even diseases have life through spirit. Yes, sir. All right, now, what they would have done with their ability, see, would have produced the spirit. Because that's when they were told to multiply. Then, taking the dust, God would have supplied the body. Now, that's right on a tape that Brother Branham preached in 1951. I never knew that he said it, but I knew he had to say it someplace, and a friend of mine found a little while ago and told me. And he, I could get, even get the name of the tape for you if you want. Now, but sin entered, and thus the life was changed. Why? Because you see, the sin now, the life got itself involved with sin. Which what it wasn't supposed to get itself involved with. The body also then was changed. Now, it was now a body of death. Transformation. This time stepping down. The body or form has to manifest the attributes of that life or that spirit that is there. And Adam died spiritually, separated from God. He was spiritually transfigured. So he'd have a physically transfigured body step down. See? All right. The body or form has to manifest the attributes of that life or spirit that is in there. So Adam died spiritually, separated from God. He was spiritually transfigured. So the body was transfigured, and so it is right today. It's not the one that should be. Because it doesn't suit a son of God. Now it's the best you can do with the fallen son of God. But you see, it's got to come back. You're born the image of the earthy, you got to bear the image of the heavenly. Transfiguration. Now let's stop a moment and change our thoughts a bit and then come back. See, that's why we're moving around here. God also is light. He's known as the living God. He is spirit, which is light. And he in his omniscience and wisdom, and omniscience and power, or his omniscient wisdom, I guess you should say, Benny. He in his omniscience of wisdom, before he ever created anything to demonstrate his power, any form of life, purposed to put his life into a form and seed in order to propagate himself and reveal himself. Now this is why this tape isn't going up. You better believe it. And you're not smart enough to quote me right now. Because I'm losing you. Now let's look at this. Now here we go. Genesis 1, 1 and 2. I wouldn't preach if I didn't believe I was right. But I just don't like controversy. Fool you on it. You'll get a thought. That's all I want you to get. In the beginning, God created heavens and earth. The earth without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Very good. We now go to John 1. And we'll just read John 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word is with God, and the Word was God. The same as in the beginning with God. Might as well read verse 3. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 1, the epistle. Okay. The fifth verse. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. Well, God's God. He's Spirit. God's Word. He's Word. God's light. He's light. So then we see the order of revelation. Genesis 1 and 1a, in the beginning God. Number 2, John 1 and 1, in the beginning God was the Word. John 1 and 5, in the beginning God was light. Now we get it right. God. Self-existent, alone, unformed as to manifesting in a physical form which was yet to come. Word. There, ideation through his omniscience became completely coordinated. And blueprinted and began to go into effect by reason of the forces marshaled to produce. The third was light. All right. He formed himself a body of light. He began to manifest his attributes, all that lay in him. That's the first thing. In him is no darkness. That means when the light came, it was pure, 100%, perfect, cannot be changed. Nobody can change it. Nobody can do a thing about it. It ever remains. Everything then is light. God, perfect in all His perfections, absolutely matchless, just there's no touching it. All right. He began to manifest His attributes, all that lay within Him. This light actually rayed out or came from God. God was in it. Now, God was His own light in His light. In that light also lay that Word. For the Word was the total concept and expression, even though it might be a while to express. Manifestation of ideation, even redoing the world, was 6,000 years before it got finished with man. This made up that seed we talk about. Wherein lie all the attributes, and only from them that are in the seed can there come the true form of light. All right. God, Word, light. Metamorphosis. Now, this light actually rayed out or came out from God. God therefore was in it. God was that light. In that light also lay that Word. Same one. For the Word was the total concept to be expressed. Now, this made up that seed we talk about, wherein all the attributes, wherein lie all the attributes, and only from them that are in the seed can there come the true form of life. Now, I hope you follow what I was telling you. Life, God gave it a form. Now, you'll notice, when life was already there, that had a form, He was able to reduce it into a seed to continue. So within God was all of this. So the first manifestation coming forth was a light. And from it being that which would produce all future forms that would be contingent with the light. So there is the transfiguration of God. God changing from invisibility to manifestation. His life or Himself being made manifest. That is how we have the Son or seed of God sharing the glory. Back here in John 17. Now you notice I used the word Son. Now I got from seed to Son. But did you notice? Didn't notice? Well, you notice now. Okay. John 17 and 5. And now, Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world began. Now, this had to be a seed. Had to be a manifestation. Now, Father, glorify me with Thine own self. Didn't say glorify me with something else. He said, I want you to glorify me with yourself. And then, with the resplendent glory that I had with you, before there was anything ever done outside of that original light, and the concept which lay there to take seed, form. Pardon me, which was seed to take a form. In other words, we're looking at expression, metamorphosis, expression. Let's go over here to Hebrews. One, two, and three. Hath the last day spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. That's the world systems. Who being the brightness of his glory. Glorify me with your own, with yourself. And the express image of his person. Now he had to be seen. He had to be attribute compressed into a seed. Which attributes would manifest physically the perfect life in a physical, yet contain the true life, the express image of his person. He'd have to be, upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down the right hand of the majesty of God on high. Now, he is the glory of God. There's an actual expression for that. But we'll give you one over here. In 1 Corinthians 1, 2. 1 Corinthians 2 and 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Also remember, God is called the Father of glory. All right. He is the glory of God. He is the Son of God. He is the Father in the form of sonship. They are one. Now you see, you can tell where this tape isn't going out. And nobody's going to get it. But maybe I can get some thoughts moving on you. Where you can begin to see where the difference between Jesus and God is. One had a beginning. What you're really looking at is a metamorphosis. You're looking at a transfiguration. You're looking at, as Brother Branham said, the onmorpha, God changing the mask for a purpose. But the light itself is that one light. Then one day God transfigured himself again by placing all his attributes, which constitute sun, like that light and the word, into sperm and egg, and brought forth a true and literal real man. But not the same man that you and I are. God in various many parts and many ways spake in time past unto the fathers and the prophets. Hath in last days spoken unto us in his Son, in whom the fullness of God had dwelt bodily. Now you tell me that tree, God's the tree, the bride's the tree, Christ's the tree. You're going to tell me that tree is anything but the manifestation and the derivation or the life in manifestation of the life itself, you're wrong. For God was manifest in flesh. Part and heir of all things. That is possessor of all things. That word heir doesn't mean like the father to son. Inheriting this is possessor. Who being the brightness of his glory. What about before there was any? Before there was light. So he was that light. In him was light. The life was the light of men. Now, just leave that there a second. I'm coming right back to it. I want to read you something here. You just listen to me read it. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen in their eyes, which you looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifested. Certainly life should be manifested. That life should take a form. Nature would teach us. We have heard, looked upon, hands handled the word of life. For the life was manifested. That word means absolutely shown who he was. We have seen it and bear witness and shown to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested. All three make you up. Body, soul, and spirit. But there's a spiritual thing inside, which is two parts of a three. Now you've got a body here in two parts. Where'd the spiritual part come from? That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with your Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write in you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Then they saw light in the human form. No wonder we'll go through buildings. This light beats any light on earth. We're not worth this light here or the sun. That's chicken feet alongside God. That's why I told you the bride to me with Christ in the midst is nothing anymore with God in the midst. Hey, people can wander and think about this and think about that and toss their mind. My mind doesn't toss at all. See? All right. Who being in the brightness of his glory, the express copy of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. See? God in human flesh, mediating, propitiating, and going up as high priest to himself. Still a man involved here. Because when the highest form that God could take on, he took on the lowest. It says over in Philippians. Let's go take a look at that a second. Let this mind be in you, chapter 2 and 5, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not a prize to be grasped and retained, to stay in that form, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, found in fashion as a man, God fashioned himself, put his attributes in there, and brought forth a man, humbled himself, beaten death, even death to the cross, wherefore God hath highly exalted him. Certainly, given name above every name, what's that name? Jesus, which is the name of God. Well, the name of him whereby you might be saved, Jehovah Savior. God in the form of a son. Because that was what came out of light. In a seed form. When the life of that seed was broken, then God poured forth. And we become the beneficiaries from the great benefactor God. All right. Let's keep reading. Being made so much better than angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than he. Notice it didn't say being born, it said being made. She was just a carrier. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Again I'll be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again when he bringeth the firstborn into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. 2:16, that's Hebrews. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels. He never became an angel, but took on him the seed of Abraham. Now I'm going to tell you something flat. He's no more the seed of Abraham than nothing when it comes right down to, did he have a thing to do with Abraham? No way. It only happens that Mary and Joseph came down, being Hebrews, down through the tribe of Judah. And Abraham is the great type of which now being father and having an only son of a divine purpose, which was Isaac. So now he's known as the seed of Abraham. This fulfilled John 1:1-3:10-14. Well, let's go back and look at it, see if it's not true. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is with God. The Word was God. The same beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him, not anything made that was made. Him was life, life, the light of men. Then the 10th verse. He was in the world. The Word was made by Him. The world knew Him not. Then verse 14. And the Word became flesh. Metamorphosis. Transfigured. Transformed. And dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten the Father, full of grace and truth. What glory was that? God's own glory. God's own assessment. God's own pronouncement. God's own word in human form. God Himself. Now then, this one died by becoming sin for us. He died two deaths. That's been known for years. I think Dr. Kenyon preached that 30, 40 years ago. I think Dr. Bosler brought it up. Dellis and Cal brought it up. Some people said, well, He died two deaths because He took care of our sins and He took care of our sicknesses. No, the sickness was not taken care of. That was taken care of by the bruise. He died two deaths, physical and spiritual. Because He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was left of God hanging there. Separation. But He was raised and even more transfigured. This time He's got a more wonderful body still. More God, qualitative, attribute-wise than ever. Thus we are redeemed back to God, and our very lives are transfigured by rebirth. The blood made a propitiation, so that God and man could be back again. God breathed out the breath of life. Brother Branham said that was the Holy Ghost. And I must have left him. Something had to leave. He was left alone. So now, by rebirth, we qualify for a physical transfiguration. In the meantime, we are transfigured, if so be, His presence in that body awaits, will be transfigured by death. The body will go down. In the meantime, the life will take a further step of transfiguration because there's a spirit body waiting for it. It doesn't eat and drink, but has such a wonderful time, you wouldn't want to stick around in this cruddy thing. You just get into that one. So in the meantime, we're transfigured by death. If so be the rapture, is yet at a distance. But if we die, we are raised according to the seed within us. Which seed is now immortal? We won't be God. We're sons of God. We're the seed of God. The attributes of God. And we're going to be raised. If we die, we are raised according to the seed which is in us, which is a certain life, and in our case, is Christ. We go back to 1 Corinthians again. The 15th chapter. And it says, some man will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And what you sow, you don't sow the body that shall be but a bare grain. Now, if you go down with the Holy Ghost, joined to your soul, you have got to come up with a body commensurate, which is the identical body of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again and is now immortal. The seed is what determines the body. Because the attributes lie in the seed.
See? Now, it's a spiritual seed we're dealing with. Why? Because all seeds are spiritual in so far that a seed as the pulpit concern is next to nothing. It's the life that's in it. So therefore, the life that is in us is now that great combined life of sons with the Son, the royal Son. God Himself now joined to give us a body like His own body, which is so glorious. And we'll have those bodies here. But let me tell you, it'll be a wonderful day when we find that the light is in the midst of us here, the fullness of the Holy Spirit takes us up. And then He Himself takes on His own glorified body. What a day that's going to be. If that doesn't send the heavens and everybody rejoicing, I don't know what will. See? Transfiguration. 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 What it is, the constant change of God moving and man moving with God, and we're moving ever upward. There's something going on now in this end age. There was a transformation of our minds by the renewing of our minds by repentance. There's a renewing in the mind by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. The creeds and dogmas and things are gone. There's a renewing now in us. There's a revival. There's a spiritual resurrection. And now our very cells are about to be charged with the very life released from the word of immortality. See, that's what's going on. And we ought to be aware of it. We are on our way to the full expression of what is and will be the life of man and God united. Many a man's had a great dream of a marriage. I don't think anybody but what is more or less a human being in the full sense of the word, and by that I mean that that he's followed Adam. Of course, Adam got off track, you know, so we can't play that all the way. Paul the Apostle was a man who was celibate. But I think almost everybody, even those who are celibate, think in terms of a wife because they're, in a measure of a way, they're not exactly complete without one. And that's proven by the fact that God Almighty has one. And He's complete. So therefore, even as I say, a person might think in terms of marriage. And we look back and realize what marriage could have been if we had been. Well, I'll tell you something. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? And it sure doesn't look like it. Because it hasn't come into existence what we shall be. The great metamorphosis, the great transformation, the picking up. But He said, I'll tell you one thing. When He appears, and the Son of Man has appeared and is appearing, and He's with us now, in that hour, He said that great thing, which is a transformation, is going to take place. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard. Neither in the heart of man the things that God had prepared. We simply can't understand a theophonic body, spirit body. We can't understand a glorified body. We can understand none of these things. You know why? Because too many attributes here lie within us of the human structure. But the more the attributes of God released by the Holy Spirit come in, the more we'll understand. That's why we're quickened in this hour by revelation of Jesus Christ, because we're going to be like Him. Oh, yes, that's a shout, my brother, my sister. Transfiguration, transformation is running apace, as the prophet said. So many things happening out there in the desert. Revelation piling word upon word until there won't be one cell left in our body that has not been changed. Transfiguration is the order of the hour. Oh, what a body of glory. What a glorious body to express the lives that lie ahead. Oh, the glorious wedding, the glorious marriage, the glorious everything. And I might say, I can hardly wait. I want to see death swallowed up in victory. I waited a long time for it. Let's pray. You can just be seated. Heavenly Father, we ask You again now to bless us. The end of this service, may the grace and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ rest and abide upon us. The good things of God be made more and more real to us. We understand we're in this great process. And we are amazed at Your goodness, Lord. I am particularly amazed, Lord. I am particularly amazed, Lord. Absolutely breathless, as it were, at Your magnificence, at the clarity of Your revelation, of Your grace and Your understanding, how that You can do more in 5 minutes. Yes, God, in one split second, but we know even a split second is a long time for us, because we simply can't equate to the way You are and how and what. But we're so glad, Lord, that You can take in a little while and cause the Scripture to open up to our minds and Show us these things, Lord, and now we know there's something here in a seed thought. A seed thought, Lord, which contains attributes, specifically revelatory manifestations to our minds. And we believe that. Oh, God, what an hour. What an hour, Lord. What an hour. What an hour we live in. And we're so happy that we're part of it. How we praise you tonight and just love you that much more and know that God is on the throne and he never will forsake his own. No way. But every day is brighter and brighter. Every day is just one more day closer home. One more day of the pilgrimage marked off in the calendar. Just with our arms outstretched, waiting to meet that one who will meet us up there in clouds of glory to be in that home with him. Lord, we're just thanking that we can stand here tonight, be here tonight as a people who can take this, although we rejoice with joy, being full of glory, and to a measure we can be so happy in it, and yet know that this is real apart from 1 ounce of energy expended or feeling that your true and faith does not rest upon anything that we have thought or we have done, but faith rests in word and entirety in all manifestation 100% upon you. And it therefore is a further extension of the attributes God himself, as it were, literally transfiguring, coming more into view, and we also more into view until there'll be a bride and groom. We appreciate this, Lord, and bless your name for it. Now be with us in all things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The reason I said just remain seated is the fact I want to just talk to you a little bit. Evans phoned the Grange down here. I don't know just where it is, but it's not too far. It's about 5 or 6 miles. 5 miles. So we're going to get it for Sunday. And what we'll do is put the service to about 12 o'clock. That should be about right. 11:30 somewhere there. And what we'll do, maybe we better get it saved. We'll say if we have the service at 11:30, we'll get out of here by 2 hours, the very latest, 1:30. And that'll give us time to fellowship and to eat. So what you can do is not just bring a sandwich. We'll bring up some stuff. And I know you're all good at bringing things, so bring things and whatever you can do. If you're just one person, you know, we'll feed you. I got a piece of bread and a hunk of garlic. I'll take care of you. And the sausage to go with it. Just kidding you, of course. You'd be surprised some of the stuff I like and eat. You just sit there and you'd wonder if I was human or not. Of course, you might wonder that now. But I was brought up with some clear appetite, so I was maybe just kidding on that piece of bread and garlic. I could eat a piece of garlic raw down if you give me a chance and stay, you know, 50 feet away. But anyway, you don't have to bring much. But everybody who brings something, I'll tell you what we want to do. If you ladies want to, there's not many ladies here tonight to talk about it, but I guess you are usually the hardest workers, maybe, I don't know. We'll phone the folk in Toledo. And you can kind of give an idea or phone around about what you want to bring. But we can start service. What is it? Say 12, about 11:30 or 12, what, 11:30, 12 o'clock? Because see, foot washing can't take place till, and communion until about 6:30. Because the sun's got to go down. The sun won't be down before 6:30. Just staying up all the time. So what do you think? 12? Okay, we can get here 12 o'clock sharp for service. And Brother Terry Sproul will be preaching. Now, let me cue you in on something. Saturday night in Cincinnati at 5:30. He will be preaching down there to Brian's little group and anybody else who wants to come. Now, let me tell you exactly how to get there. Well, I left my notes at home. I was going to even have some mimeographed tonight, but I can tell you. You take 75 to 275 and you go east. And, of course, you'll go right around and you'll start swinging way down south. And you'll come to Beachmont Exit, which is Exit 65, which is also State Route 125. Beachmont Avenue, Exit 65, which is 125. Fine, you go west, naturally. You'll get down toward a shopping center, and in there you will see 8 Mile Road. or Mile 8 Road, whatever they got, Mile 8 Road, 8 Mile Road, what's it is. And you turn right. And you go up until you reach Clough, or Clough. C-L-O-U-G-H. Now, there are different pronunciations. Heavens knows. It could be Clough, Clough, Clough. I think he called it Clough. I'm not sure. Then you turn left, about a mile and a half. And you will see a church on the left-hand side and the YMC on the right-hand side. And I think, what is it, Pleasant? Is it Grace Hill Church or something? What's the name of that church? Doesn't matter. I'll phone Gene and Gene will phone you guys. What'll happen? Because you're going to get these three numbers working. All right. You understand. 75 to 275, you're going south. You hit exit 65, which is Beachmont, which is 125. You go right west. And about a shopping center area, you start looking for Mile 8 Road. All right. Then you turn right and it which takes you north. And you go to Clough, C-L-O-U-A-J, tight. And you turn left. And a mile and a half, you'll see the church. 5:30. And believe me, we're going to get out early. And Terry can maybe grab a sandwich. You're coming right home. Because we got our services here. And old Evel's been so tired these days, and Mama's so tired, we wonder if we're going to get up next morning or crawl to bed that night. So there's just not going to be any frills. We're going to have started 5:30 sharp, and we'll end the service. And if Terry wants to walk home, that's his tough luck, but I'm starting out of there. All right, you understand? That's 5:30 down in Cincinnati at this church, whatever it is on the left-hand side of Cloud Pike. 75 to 275, going south, get off at exit 65, which is Beachmont. Beachmont goes to shopping center, you get Mile 8 Road, turn to your right, go to Cloud Pike, turn left. Now, I tell you what I'll do. I'll phone Gene, give a telephone number, name of the church, and I'll let you people know when I get, I can even phone him tonight, and Dave, you can get a hold from him, get Joel known, and address by that way, and you can pick it up by Greg the same way, you wouldn't be able to go Saturday anyway because you're working. So anybody who wants to, look, you're not obligated to go. Because I tell you, later on you might feel you're obligated to go because Brian wants to celebrate the first anniversary of that little tiny church down there and you're all invited down. And as much as I hate to think of it, I said, well, we'll see if something can work out. And then again, I'm not obligating you to go down. So that's fine. Okay, now there was going to be a work night here for the church. Well, because we thought of cleaning upstairs, getting everything ready for Sunday. But we still need a work crew, someone to bring some nice stuff to clean up the brass work there, and some polish and stuff to clean up the pews and things and the piano, and to dust and to clean up because we are getting quite behind on some of the chores here. And up to this point, we haven't got ourselves organized. We should pretty quick to who will begin to do a little bit more. Now, hopefully we had good Brother Steve coming back, but he's leaving this Saturday. Which means by two more Saturdays he will be back. That's just the way it is. Not a pessimist, I'm very much a realist. He did say he was coming back on Saturday, leaving, get here Tuesday, but I even said which date the Tuesday was, and he agreed, but you know how it is. The best form plans of mice and men gang after. So maybe he's after this Tuesday, he'll get here the next Tuesday. But he was going to do all this, but he's not here, so in the meantime, please pitch in and let's get the thing cleaned up nice and tidy again. So we don't bring dirt downstairs. Bathroom upstairs to be cleaned up. We're putting a hook on that door. I forgot to bring an eye for it though. A couple things like that I wish you'd do. So any questions now? What you want to bring for the dinner is your own business. Just bring a lot. If you haven't got it, don't bring it. Nobody will miss it. We'll do all we can. Everybody help each other. Now, no, any questions on the sermon? Don't bother asking. I'm going to tell you. Now, I hope you're listening. I hope you're listening because there's something in there. I struck something in there. I know where I'm going, but I think this is about all for the time being on it. Okay, everything fine? Now, we have the amplifier and things will be fixed up tomorrow. Hopefully, Dave can get back tomorrow. That's Dave the Temple. Can get back and run the wires in and put the switch at the back there to get the furnace on automatic when we want to get the wood furnace blowing the heat in. If there's anything you want to think of in the meantime, I think it's a good idea to start making mental notes because you'll have lots of time to fellowship over yonder. And some of you men want to talk about any future plans for the building, what you've got in your mind or what you don't got in your mind. what you think would work out, and things like that. So I want you to start thinking very seriously now, because there's got to come a day, and I'm not the most patient person in the world, and I'm not the most impatient, but I'm hardly temperate at this point. We've got to get this place finished and cleaned up so that those stairs are in right, so we can dedicate the building, so there'll be no noise anyplace, the sanctuary, and it will be available so you can come earlier. And I see we're drifting a little bit too far on the wrong side of 7:30 and meetings. I want everybody here a little earlier. Of course I do. What do you think I'm here for? And I want you in your seats praying. Yep, and be silent before the Lord. just remember this, I'm not much a pastor. My work, of course, is beyond the pastor. Brother Branham categorically said he was presiding elder. And he said the elder, and this is not the elder that's appointed or elected, but this is the elder by virtue of what he was and I am, that they are next to the Holy Spirit. Now, I wonder why it was. We had all this fuss at Quincy, that Brother Vail had no authority. Now, I throw things out every now and then to let you know, look, we are not playing games. Because, look, it's right around the corner, Brother Sitcher. We're not going by feelings and this and that, but we will have to have and we'll expect to have a higher order of everything amongst us. I'm looking for it. By the grace of God, I'm looking for it. Now, you see, you might see a very terrible example in many respects. If I don't deviate from that word, I might not be much of a manifestation from it. But I'm looking for Him to do what I can do. At this point, I've never been able to do anything about certain things. Whether I'm too lazy or too much of whatever it is, and you know what that is, because we all have a certain amount of it. But I'm looking to Him. So, that's fine? Okay? Saturday night, if you want to go. No strings. You know where it is. Very good. All right, Sunday, 12 o'clock sharp. A little early we get here. Brother Terry will preach. And I'll tell him to preach as long as you want. And what we'll do, we'll have maybe a couple of people very surreptitiously sit at the back, so that if they have to sneak out, they can sneak out and start things moving down the place. You know how it is? By the way, I haven't said a thing to Lee Miller. I kind of had to wish I had it. I wonder, he got very few people he could phone around. Maybe it would be really nice if they invite him over for Tuesday or for Sunday. If they wish to come Sunday, it would be very nice. I don't know if some of them could stay for foot washing, but we have quite a number of basins, and we have ample room for foot washing. We can spread our foot washing plumb out into here in the rooms upstairs. Then we clean it. Let's get that clean as good as we can for foot washing up there. So if you now, I tell you what we'll do. Why don't we just let the people? We'll just let you dismiss them. How about you kind of forming your own little plan how you're going to do some of these things for this weekend? Okay. Lord bless you. Just consider yourself dismissed, and maybe y'all preach this again. You're dismissed. God bless you. Let's take the name of Jesus with you. That's why it's always nice to sing that. Okay, start it up here.